It's good to see everyone tonight. Thank you for being here. And I appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share a few words from God's Word. Do you know, I have three boys, and my family and I, we usually like to take, go to the park, and, they like to ride their bicycles. You know, the second one just begun to ride his bike, without any other help. And so they really enjoy going out and riding their bicycles, but sometimes we need to go across the street to another side of the park, and they get excited, so they get ahead of us. So we have told them many times, when you get to the intersection, you're going to stop. You're not going to go across the street by yourself. And even we got into the point that we told them, okay, you stop, you get off the bike, that way our mind is at rest. You're just going to go take off across the street. And so so that's what we do. And I think that's what anybody would do, to be safe, as they're going across the street. But, what if they disobeyed? What if they didn't regard what I told them? Would that be considered disobedience? It probably could. I think it is considered disobedience. What if they say, they're young still, but what if they say, well, my dad is too strict. He doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know any probability. There's no cars coming. I'm free to go across. I should be fine. Okay, I'm free to do what I want. What if they, based on that logic, they went ahead and went across the street? What if nothing happened to them? Would that still be considered disobedience, whether nothing happened to them or not? Still disobedience, whether they went across safely. Okay? And the bottom line is that none of those arguments really matter. The bottom line is that I, as a father, I'm representing one of the oldest institutions on earth, which is the family. So God has invested in the parents the prerogative to choose whether the kids go across the streets on their own or not. That belongs to the father, belongs to the mother. And that's what God has given us. Anything else, goes in the area of disobedience, okay? So, they might feel uncomfortable at the moment. They might say, well, I'm big enough. I can go across the street on my own. I can ride the bike very well. I can go really fast. Nothing's going to happen to me. I can even dodge a car if it's coming at me. You see, they might feel uncomfortable being restrained. That doesn't really matter. What matters at the end of the day is whether you obey or not. Now, let me give you a Bible example. This is where I want to go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And you see how simple is our reasoning? No one can argue against that. Now, when you go to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38, all the way, three verses down, you see, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your, away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Now look at this, verse 41. And whomever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, pay attention to this last phrase that we just read. The Persians, they began, compelling citizens to help, officials on a government, errand to help them carry, the load of the messengers, the soldiers. Now, along came the Greeks, and they said, well, this is a pretty good idea, so we're going to, take it, borrow it, and make it a law. Now, after the Grecians came the Romans, and the Romans said, we're also going to make it a law, and whomever is on an official errand from the government, he has the right, by law, to pull down anyone on the street and tell him, okay, you're going to help me carry this load for 1 mile. Now, the question is, was it a law? Sure it was. What happens if somebody, you know, complain about that law and say, no, I'm not going to do it. It's uncomfortable to me. Is that still disobedience or not? I think, you know, the answer. I will let you make some of your own applications. I cannot, you know, make every application. But look at this. He's telling, if he's compelling you to go 1 mile, and you say, okay, I'm going to go 1 mile, and that's it, I'm out of here. He said, no, wait a minute. Go with him 2 miles. Just to do what's lawful is not enough. You need to go beyond what's lawful. You know, he's taking for granted that you need to obey the law. That's not in question. The question is, what else are you going to do besides what everybody's doing? If you're a Christian, you need to go 1 mile. Now, if I'm not even obeying the law, then I'm way behind. If that makes sense. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of this, because we have an example in the Bible. Now, if you could turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32, you're going to find this man, Simon of Cyrene, and he's minding his own business. He's on an errand. He's doing his own thing. He's a free man. He can go wherever he wants. Okay? But then he's pulled aside. Notice verse 32, Matthew 27, verse 32. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Notice, him they compelled. Okay? Same word used in Matthew chapter 5 that we just read. Same word. And, you know, basically it means a requisition. If anyone is making a requisition, he was, you know, they made a requisition. Who was they? You go further up on the context, verse 27, it was the soldiers, the one who made this requisition to him. And you know, and what was that? What did they ask him to do? What was he compelled to do? To carry the cross of Christ. It's unbelievable what he would have missed if he would have said, no, that's uncomfortable. I have freedom. I'm a free man in this sense. You cannot compel me to carry 1 inch of that cross. I'll tell you something. If I was him, and I carried his cross, later I would say, well, by the way, who was that man that I carried his cross? And he came across someone who was willing to tell him, what do you think he would have done? What would be the chances that he would be blessed by what he learned after he carried Jesus on cross? Would be a blessed man. All because he abide by the law of the land. Simple. It's ABC. Okay? It's no argument. At the end of the day, whether you obeyed or not. And whether you went the extra mile or you did not. Okay? And you know, everybody makes your own applications. Okay? Now, as I wrap this down, and I'll just what I want to say, you know, the biggest example that we have in the scriptures is that of Jesus Christ. Okay? And keep in mind that our Lord was meek. Now, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have avoided the cross or the pain of the cross easily from the beginning of his ministry. But yet he was willing to be uncomfortable. He was willing to put down his freedom. He was still a Jewish man. You know, he was a human. He wasn't an animal. He did it willingly for our behalf. Now, Hebrews 5 and verse 8 and 9, we see that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, he's requiring obedience from us, but he was also obedient, first of all. And through all of this suffering he went through being uncomfortable all the way until death, something that we cannot even begin to imagine. You know, we never miss a meal, much less, you know, be beaten to death. I cannot begin to imagine it. I'm applying it to myself. I cannot. I have not suffered that much. You know, I suffered a little bit, you know, but that doesn't compare to what our master went through. Now, let me just, you know, close it up by saying this. You know, and keep in mind, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. You know, if anybody got uncomfortable, if anybody's rights were violated on behalf of other people. Wasn't even on behalf of himself. He was going to die anyways. He did it on behalf of us so that we can be saved from our sins. We can go to bed and rest in peace because I know I'm forgiven of my sins, and I know if anything happens to me, I know what my future is. I can rest in peace. You know, like Peter was sleeping in peace when he was, you know, with the guards. The next day he was going to be beheaded. He was asleep. That's the benefit we get from someone being uncomfortable for us, someone whose rights were, you know, trampled down. But when I put my freedom above God's commandments, then that's when I need to do some self-examining. Okay? And this is what I want to say. I know it's we have 2 minutes. I'm good at time. That's good. Okay? But notice Matthew 11. And before I go to Matthew 11, just Matthew 5 and verse 2. Why would somebody not want to comply with God's commandments? Why? Here's the answer. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is where people draw the line. If you want to become a Christian, if you want to be on God's side, you have to be poor in spirit and realize how destitute you really are without God's help. How destitute you are, how lacking your life is, even though you might have money, you might have possessions, you might have a good job, you might have a good family, you might have everything you have to ever dream of. But you don't have God with you. You are poor. And those who realize that, and those who are humble enough to say, I'm going to bow down my knee, and I'm going to put away everything I learned from my parents. I'm going to put away all the traditions of my family. I'm going to put away all my reasoning. You know? I'm just going to obey what God is telling me. Those are the ones who belong in the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, that's where people draw the line and get out of the kingdom of heaven. They don't get to enter because they don't want to be poor in spirit, realize their condition. Now, we can you know, keep on going on the Sermon on the Mount, and we see, you know, meekness. But this is, I have, you know, less than 1 minute now. Let me finish with Matthew 11 and verse 28. And you know, 28 to 30, and this is where I'm going to finish, okay? Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We understand that to be heavy laden of sin. You know, being in this life, and you know, life is constantly beating up on you because you're not fulfilled. There's something lacking on your life, and it's that forgiveness of sin, okay? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and notice, learn of me, for I am gentle, says the New King James. Meek, says other versions, you know, like the King James. I am gentle, I am meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, we have the example of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave an example, nothing less than being meek and lowly in heart. Now, there's nothing above that. And, you know, my children can argue all they want to argue and say, my dad is unfair. There's no need for me to stop when there's no cars coming. I'm safe. Probability says that I'm 0% likely to be hit by a car when there's no car coming from the left or the right. Well, that doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. You can keep your arguments. The end of the day is whether you obeyed what I told you or not. And whether you went the extra mile and got out of the bike, not only stopped, you got out of the bike, went the extra mile to show your parents some respect. You know, the family is the oldest institution on this earth. The government is the second one. The church is the last one and the youngest one of them. And we cannot put one above the other because all of them are God's establishment. All of them. And that's my invitation. Are you meek? Are we being meek and lowly in heart as we think about other people in this country? Forget about the arguments. We can argue all day long. That doesn't really matter. Are we learning obedience like Jesus Christ learned obedience? If anyone here needs to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, please let us know. If you're not a Christian, we would love for you to be one. And if you're ready to obey the gospel by, you know, having faith in the Word of God, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being immersed in the waters of baptism, and then being faithful for the rest of your life, we'll be more than happy to help you with that as we together stand and sing.